Lord, I ask that you speak through this message today. I don't know how that works at times. Sometimes it just happens and you take care of business, and I just stand up here and make the words work. So I ask that you would speak through this in some form or fashion to all of us about our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Gayden Warden in a certain fishing village began to notice that one particular fisherman was bringing back more fish each night than all the others combined, and this made the warden both very curious and very suspicious. So consequently, one day he decided to go along with this lucky angler to see what was going on, and the fisherman steered his boat into a secluded cove, dropped anchor. He opened up his fishing box and removed a stick of dynamite. He lit it, the fuse, until it was almost spent. Then he threw the dynamite stick out of the boat into the water. As it hit the water, it exploded, and sending a huge gushing of water up into the air. Then scores of fish, either dead or stunned by the blast, floated up to the surface, and they were taken onto the boat. Seeing this, the warden was furious, and he said, "Now listen, I'm not going to allow you to continue in this manner. You're breaking all the rules, and I'm going to issue a summons for you to appear in court." Whereupon the fisherman lit a second stick of dynamite, put it in the warden's hand, and said, "You going to talk or fish?" I don't know if I'm going to talk or fish. If you'll join with me in reading Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Here we go. "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Jesus called his first disciples, saying, 'Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And for 3.5 years, his disciples followed him around. They traveled with him, they prayed with him, they worked with him, they talked with him, they saw him do all kinds of miracles and healings. And then came the cross, and he died on the cross, and he spent 3 days in the tomb. And now he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, and one of the places that he appeared to them was on the beach." Read with me John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.' He gives them the power and the strength to take the dynamite of the message to the ends of the earth, the gospel. And before long, the disciples are being referred to in faraway places as these men who have turned the world upside down. They had decided to fish and not just talk." I'll tell you a true story. Read with me this Acts chapter 17, verse 6. "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." True story. Back in the mid-80s, I was living in Kentucky and pastoring a church down there, and we had, as one of our ministries, we had a prison banquet that went into Vienna, Illinois, state penitentiary. And as you know, we have a couple of banquets that go into prisons here, with Taylorville and Decatur. Anyway, I was at a closing for one of our regular banquets down there, and literally, the Spirit came over me, or something happened, and this scripture was read. "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." And I knew it in my knower. You know how you know? It was prophetic in nature, and I stood up at the closing for that thing, and I said, "I'm going to tell you something. When we go to Vienna in January," which was 3 months later, "somebody is going to stand up there, one of those prisoners, that is going to quote this scripture because we showed up and did the banquet down there with them." These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. So, I said that, and I got done, and I sat down, and I said, oh, God, what have I done? I mean, is this going to happen or not, you know? And I said, if it doesn't happen, everybody in the world is going to know I'm just an idiot up here anyway. And So January comes. We go to prison. Saturday in the afternoon, one of the prisoners comes up to me, flaps open his Bible, and says, look at this. And he quotes this scripture to me. These men who have come to turn the world upside down have come here also. I said, yeah. But then I got to thinking about it. I said, but he hadn't stood up in front of everybody and said this. He just said it to me, and what do I know? And so at the closing for that banquet down there, he stood up, and he read it right out of the Bible, and he said, that's what has happened here. And I said, yes! Absolutely no one remembered that I'd even said it back in October. But I remembered. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And then, which brings me to the title of the talk, if the shoe fits, wear it. That's how it goes, doesn't it? I was watching a talk show, and Mel Brooks was being interviewed, and Mel Brooks is the guy that wrote Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs and a few other crazy movies that are out there that I appreciate tremendously. Anyway, so I was watching him, and he was talking about writing stories and doing things, putting things, he said, and they got to talking about Ernest Hemingway. And one time, Ernest Hemingway was challenged to write a story in 10 words or less. And this is what he wrote. For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn. For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn. Now, this has been described as what they call flash fiction, where you do it in very few words in terms of that. And actually, there is a whole thing. You can go out on the internet and you look up. Just go look for six-word memoirs. And you'll find all kinds of these things out there. And supposedly it's because of what happened with Ernest Hemingway. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. But the title of this talk is really a six-word flash fiction or a six-word memoir. If the shoe fits, wear it. Now, I left the last two words off, because that's part of the message. But I have a little ditty that I put together because I went looking for these six words. And this is what I found. This is just some of what I found. Thank you. few that I found, but they're six-word memoirs or they're flash fiction, because if you just see them on a page, you can think about them, and a lot of times your imagination will go places with it. I found a few others. There was a radio show a long time ago, supposedly coming from Hell's Kitchen, and this woman says, "I found my mother's suicide note." And that conjures up things. There was a pause on the radio. And then she says, this is what it said. "No flowers, no funeral, no nothing." Found another one called, "Not quite what I was planning." And I found one called, "Earl is dead. Cadillac for sale." And then the title of this sermon, "If the shoe fits, wear it." There is a short allegory story that was written called "The City of Everywhere" by a guy by the name of Hugh Price. And in the scene of this thing, it goes like this. It's actually an allegory about a man who looks his responsibility clearly in the face, recognizes it, and then refuses to accept it. The City of Everywhere is the tale of a man who might have been I, for I had dreamed of one time of journeying to this town. He says, "I arrived early one cold morning. There was snow on the ground, and as I stepped from the train, I noticed that the baggage man was dressed warmly in a heavy coat, scarf and gloves, but he wore no shoes. Boarding the streetcar, I saw that my fellow passengers also were all barefoot. When I arrived at my hotel, I found that the bellhop and all the guests were without shoes on their feet, and I found the hotel manager, who also had bare feet, and asked, 'Why don't you wear any shoes in this city?' I replied, 'That's it. Why don't we?' Then I asked, 'Don't you believe in shoes?' 'I should say we do,' the man answered. 'Our belief in shoes is the first article of our creed. They are indispensable to the well-being of humanity. They prevent suffering from cuts and sores and wounds of all kinds. Shoes are wonderful.'" I grew more insistent. "Well, why don't you wear them?" "Ah," he replied, "that's it. Why don't we?" Later, I sat next to a friendly guy, but he was shoeless as well, in a coffee shop. He offered to show me about the town. The first thing of interest was a huge brick building. He said, "You see that? That's one of our finest and biggest shoe manufacturing companies." Now, I was totally bewildered, and I answered, "What, you mean to say that you make shoes in that place? "Not exactly," he said. "We talk about making shoes there. Every week we listen to a man who speaks thrillingly and convincingly on the subject of shoes. Only yesterday people broke down and they wept when he spoke as he expounded on the necessity of wearing shoes." "But why don't you wear them?" I asked again. "Well, that's it. Why don't we?" As we turned a corner, I looked into a shop window and I saw a cobbler actually making a pair of shoes. And I burst into the shop and I asked the cobbler why there were no customers in his place. "Nobody wants shoes," he said. "They just talk about them." "Hurry," I said. "Give me all the shoes you have." I quickly paid for them and I hurried out to my barefooted friend outside. He said, "Try these on," I said. "One pair is bound to fit you." And he thanked me politely, said, "But don't you understand? It just isn't being done. And I can't change all that. This town is made up of good, respectable people, and they just don't wear shoes." And once more I asked, "But why don't they?" And once more the answer came, "That's it. Why don't we?" As Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, and he nears the conclusion of that, he says something very important. Read with me Luke 6:46. Here we go. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Why don't we? Read with me Mark 8:34. And he called to him and the multitude with his disciples and said to them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Why don't we? Read with me Matthew 5:42. Give to him who begs from you and do not refuse him who would borrow from you. Why don't we? Read with me John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Why don't we? Why don't we? Read with me John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Why don't we? Read with me Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Why don't we? There was a group of one another's that gets bandied around a bit. These are just a few of them. Read with me Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Why don't we? Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why don't we? Galatians 5:13. But through love, be servants of one another. Why don't we? 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Why don't we? And then 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, for we are members one of another. Why don't we? If the shoe fits, wear it. Do we hesitate to fill those shoes because we think people just wouldn't understand? Are we afraid that filling those shoes will make us appear different than the crowds of people who walk barefoot out of their churches? I've been in enough churches to know there are a lot of barefoot people in them. Week after week, week after week, week after week. Do we somehow feel that it is beneath our respectability to try to turn the world upside down with the priests of Christ? Is it beneath our dignity to do the work of an evangelist as Paul wrote Timothy? Is it because we're just lazy? Or is it because we're too self-centered? Why don't we? Actually, Jesus is calling us just the same as he called his disciples on those beaches on the Lake of Galilee when he said, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. And the question always is, do we want to talk or fish? Do you want to talk or fish? If the shoe fits, wear it. That's all I have to say about that. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of these slower days of summer, help us to pay attention to those things that you have said to us and to do them. In Jesus' name, amen.